And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope that all is well with you and your family, your loved ones, your church, all of those around you, all of those in your circle of influence and relationships. Hope that everybody's staying safe. Hope that everybody's doing well. And I want you all to know, we at AFR are praying for you. And I said this, I think I've said this quite frequently, but I just want to reiterate it. We are praying for you. We're praying for our listeners. We want you all to be safe. We want you all to be well. While I've said many times, I really do believe that the way this has been hyped by the mainstream media is all out of proportion to what it actually is. But that being said, we don't want anybody to get sick. We don't want anybody to die. We want everybody to be safe and sound. And so we hope that all of you are doing what you can, using godly wisdom and common sense to do what you can. I think some of the things that we are being told are a bit extreme. but aside from that, I trust all of you are using common sense and godly wisdom to minimize any possibility that you will be infected or contract this thing. And that, God forbid, if anybody you know does, we pray them through it, that they will come out on the other side and they will be fine. And thank God that most of the people, most of the people who end up getting infected are emerged just fine. In other words, they're healed. Many, of course, have mild to no symptoms, but some are profoundly affected by it and end up in ICU. But thank God right now the lethality rate on this is still about 1%. Some argue it may be even less than that. But we'll know better as we come out of this thing. We'll know better exactly what the lethality rate is. I think right now in the midst of the storm, it's kind of hard to make measurements. I was sharing with you all yesterday that some of the things that were being offered as projections, we have found out were way, way, way off. I mean, off by hundreds of percentage points. So, you know, that's why I say I think the projections probably be laid aside. And just talk about the reality of what we're facing today and you know, what we need to do to address the problem rather than these fear-mongering projections about how many people are going to die and how many, you know. I don't think it helps anybody. I don't think it helps the economy. In fact, I think if anything, it just helps certain people with a political agenda of hurting the president. Not that everybody who says these things is trying to hurt the president, but you better believe that the people who want to hurt the president will certainly use any negative projection to try to do so. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about today because some of this stuff is just, folks, it borders on treason. Not because they're saying something bad about the president, because we live in a free country and you can have something bad to say about any president. He's not a king. I had bad things to say about President Obama. They weren't personal, but I certainly had bad things to say about him because I thought his intentions toward the country were not good. I said openly, I didn't think President Obama loved this country. I still don't believe he loves this country. I think he thinks America's a bad place. He just happens to live here. And I don't think that he has any real affection for this country. I continue to hold that view, and we're free to say that. What bothers me is that people would use an opportunity where the country is in crisis and people are racked with fear. Instead of trying to solve the problem, they want to try to bring down President Trump. Instead of trying to address the issue, they want to hurt him. And so if in the process they hurt the American people, so what? We're just pawns in their little game, that we don't matter. The only thing that matters is their agenda toward the president. And that's what's treasonous. It's not that they don't agree with him or that they say negative things about him. It's that they are obsessed with hurting him, even if it means hurting the people of the United States of America in the process. That's what's traitorous. That's what's treasonous. So folks, having said that, though, look, I want to pray for all of you. You know, normally next week we would have had our share-a-thon, and we've decided to put that off and focus on praying for our audience and praying for our country and trying to help our fellow Americans get through this and get the economy up and running again, and just love on you all and minister to you all and try to be a blessing to you all. We have postponed that until the middle of May, and because of the pandemic, we're not going to be able to use volunteers this year because it just wouldn't be prudent to do so, and we keep that in a fairly closed circle. And we trust that next year we'll be back to normal. But you all be praying for us. We are going to do that. We figure by May things will have begun to open up, and we'll be able to concentrate on some other things and focus on the needs of our network. Right now, frankly, we're focused on your needs. We really are. And on making sure that all of our folks are encouraged and blessed and prayed for and inspired and frankly healthy and able to get through this thing and come out on the other side of it with gainful employment and income and the joy and peace and frankly the optimism that I think is inherent in who we are as Americans. I think we are inherently an optimistic people, and we always look to the future and expect it to be better than the past because that's been the experience of our country, and we want the same thing for you all. Let me take a moment to pray for you right now. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray for this audience, Lord, all of those within the sound of my voice right now. Lord, some are elderly, some are middle-aged, some are younger. But Lord God, we are all beset right now by the same massive problem. Not only the virus itself, which is a real problem, and it is a thing that causes many people to get sick and even is responsible for the deaths of many. And Lord God, we want our people to be safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. We want to use the appropriate precautions. And so we pray that you'll give all of us wisdom to do so. But Lord God, we also don't want to be infected with the spirit of fear. Your word says you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. In fact, you said that Jesus came to take away the power of death from him who had had that power and had held people all our lifetime subject to bondage to the fear of death. Well, Lord, we no longer have that fear because we know in whom we have believed. And so we pray, Father, that you would just give us courage and inspiration and insight. Help us to uphold the principles of our Constitution, even at a time of crisis, because if they can't withstand a time of crisis, then, Lord, they're simply not real. And we want them to be real no matter what the circumstances is we might face at any given moment in the history of our country. So, Lord God, bless our network, our staff, our management, our talk show hosts, everybody, Lord, who's responsible for putting this programming out each day. And we pray that you'll keep all of us healthy and strong and vibrant and capable of communicating truth and encouragement to our audience. And Father, we thank you and praise you for the United States of America. And we're just believing, Lord, that we know we're not a perfect nation, and we know that we're a nation that sinned against you in many ways. We've sinned against you in slaughtering our unborn children. We've sinned against you in redefining marriage according to the lusts of some people. And we've sinned against you, Lord God, in ignoring your moral rules for our lives. But Lord, there are many of us who are asking you to help us, to forgive us, we repent of the sins of our nation, and we're asking you to show our nation undeserved mercy because of your people who are here. Lord, you said to Abraham, if there were 10 righteous, you would spare Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, Lord, there are millions across America crying out to you, spare our beloved country, we pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
A recent research paper concluded that first responders are more likely to die by suicide than in the line of duty. The Rudman White Paper on Mental Health and Suicide of First Responders is a chilling look at the sobering statistics of the lives of men and women who protect us each day. The paper explains that police and firefighters, when compared to the general civilian population, are at a heightened risk for depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and suicide. We should remember that people in these professions have front-row seats to the horrendous aftermath of natural disasters, terrorist attacks, and violent domestic disputes, traffic accidents, and more. In fact, one study concluded that police officers witness 188 critical incidents during their career. No wonder their rates of PTSD and depression are as much as 5 times higher than the rates within the general population. Another reason for suicide is the reality that so many first responders have prior military experience. That means they are piling onto their career more incidents after already having a previous career rife with trauma. They may be strong, brave, and resilient, but they are only human. Another concern is the unwillingness for men and women in these professions to seek help. Often they want to avoid the shame and stigma that might come when they ask for counseling. And these same barriers often prevent families from talking openly about the suicide of a loved one. One obvious solution is to break the silence that surrounds this issue of first responder mental health. That is why I wrote this commentary. We need to support our first responders and ask them to get help so that they can continue to keep us safe. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for healthcare. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. Lupus patients have been using chloroquine for decades. How are they doing with coronavirus? The models that experts use to tell us what will happen are spectacularly wrong. The same experts also want us to believe it's more dangerous to go to work than the grocery store. And a politician wants to charge Trump with crimes against humanity. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, we're back. And I want to get to your calls as soon as I can. The number is 888-589-8840. Now, there's good news. The good news, and it seems to be confirmed now from day to day, the good news is that we are seeing a plateauing and a decline in the number of new hospital beds being taken, the number of deaths that are happening. That is a good signal that this thing is on its way out. Now, of course, all the experts are saying, but we don't want to lighten up on the social distancing. We don't want to lighten up on allowing crowds of more than 10 people and all of that. And I understand the caution there. I have suggested caution on these projections. And by the way, they were predicting that 110,000 beds would be needed to treat people with this virus. And what they think now is it may not even reach 20,000. Folks, that's 5.5 times the number projected. Now, some people would say, yeah, but you know what, EW, it's better that we overestimated the need than that we underestimated the need. Well, there's some merit to that, except that. When you way over project the need to the point where the need justifies the literal shutting down of the economy, then I think we have reason to ask the question whether that rather hysterical estimate, Yeah, that 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 estimate that is all out of proportion to reality ends up doing a lot of damage as well. So, but thank God, right now, the signals we're getting is that this thing is plateauing and maybe beginning to turn down. I want to remind everybody that according to the CDC, we've had 24,000 deaths from the seasonal flu, 24,000. And they expect that that number could get, now we don't hear again, these are their projections and they could be wrong. The 24,000 deaths is the number that is on the books now. But because the flu season does not end until March 21st, it takes a while for the numbers to come in after the 21st is over. So you know, the 21st doesn't end, and you know you've got all the numbers from all the deaths and all the people who have contracted the flu during the season. It takes a while for those numbers to come in. I'm guessing probably a couple weeks, maybe as much as a month, for us to really know. But 24,000 is the number we know right now. Okay, 24,000 over a 6 month period, and right now we're just over 10,000. Deaths from the coronavirus over what I would argue is at least a four-month period. It might be 6 months, depending upon, I mean, the first recorded case is January 15th. But I've heard a lot of people indicating that they saw people exhibiting these symptoms long before that. In other words, it was here long before that, and we didn't acknowledge the first patient until January the 15th. So again, 3 months, maybe 5 or 6 months that we've had it, and we've got 10,000 deaths from coronavirus. We've already had 24,000 deaths from the seasonal flu since October 1. So not quite as long, longer by a couple of months, but then again, 2.5 times more deaths than we've had over the last 3 to 5 months, okay, with the coronavirus. So when we keep these, I said all that to say, and they are projecting that we could see seasonal flu deaths as high as 84,000 when all the numbers are in. Now that could be completely wrong, and so I'm just saying that that's a possible projection by the CDC. So my point is, since I have questioned these fear engendering projections on the negative side, then I say, yes, we ought to be cautious on the positive side. We don't know exactly what these numbers are going to mean in the long term, but what we know is there's indications right now that there's a downturn. And we can take all the encouragement we can get. We don't want to go too far with it and say, okay, well, that's it. It's over. Let's let everybody go back to business as usual. I think we just do still want to proceed with some caution. And I think that's just to be fair. If we're going to be balanced on both sides of this, right? That's to be fair. We'll probably know a lot better in the next week or two exactly where we are, because if the trends are downward, then we're going to see them continue to move downward. So that's some very good news. I'll tell you what, there's another little piece of good news. You know, the governor of Wisconsin had decided to postpone the election, and a federal court told him, you don't have the power to do that. And I'm thinking, yes, yes, at last there's somebody saying, you don't have the power to do what you're trying to do. You don't have the authority to do that. And apparently went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court agreed with the lower court that no, the governor doesn't have the power to just willy-nilly by mere edict, by mere decree, postpone an election. I mean, here again, you are dealing with one of the most fundamental rights we have in this country, which is the right to choose our own leadership, our own political leaders. And you don't just get to say, no, we're not going to do it then. We're going to do it now. We're going to do it. And we're not going to do it that time. We're going to do it this time. Well, by what authority? Well, we're in a crisis. Yeah, but a crisis doesn't give you authority as a governor to just do whatever you want to do. And folks, I am looking forward, of course, to the end of this thing, both for the well-being of the American people, number one, of course, but also for the ability to look at this thing with some level of objectivity in hindsight and ask some very, very hard questions of ourselves. You understand, it can be difficult to do that in the middle of this, because when I do, people, E.W. Jackson is not even taking this seriously. He doesn't understand how terrible this is. No, I am taking it very seriously. I am. And I'm trying to keep it in its proper perspective. And that's all I'm trying to do. I mean, look, one of the questions one could raise is, are we not taking the seasonal flu as seriously as we should? Since we now know how many people it actually kills every year, are we not taking that as seriously as we should? I think it's clear that we can't shut down the economy every winter because of the seasonal flu. But we know it's going to kill somewhere between 30 and 40,000 people every single year. So I'm just trying to keep this in perspective. And folks, it's going to take us a while to figure out the damage done to the economy and to people's lives. And that's something that can be very, very hard to measure, because not only will that show itself in physiological problems that people will have, but it will show itself in mental and emotional problems that people have, problems that families will have. I mean, this kind of hardship puts tremendous pressure on families, on marriages, on relationships, on physical health, on a whole host of things. And as President, I think, wisely said, we don't want the cure to be worse than the disease. That's the second thing I want to mention. There is good news, folks. And here's a third thing I want to put before you, at least just before I come to the lines. And it's this. Why are people using this as an opportunity to attack this president? Folks, it's pathological. It really is. You know, we glibly talk about, you know, Trump derangement syndrome before it was Bush derangement syndrome. And I mean, they were deranged about Bush. I don't even know what they were deranged about, because, you know, I mean, you know, it's not like George Bush was paving any great path of conservatism. But nevertheless, we talk glibly about, you know, people being almost beside themselves. You know what? I think, folks, we're beyond the point of it just being sort of a glib way of describing people's distaste for and dislike of President Trump, namely. I think this stuff is going all the way into full-blown mental illness. I'm serious, folks. I mean, just full-blown mental illness. Because, you know, one of the aspects of mental illness is when people are become so delusional that they think what is unreal is real. And they think that what the reality that you see is not real. And you can't tell them any different. And we've got people running around acting like the president himself is responsible for killing people. Now, this president acted as quickly and as decisively as one could expect any president to do. And here's a guy, Chris Murphy, for example. I think he's a congressman. Yeah, congressman from Connecticut. No, sorry about that. Senator from Connecticut. Talking about Trump's ignorance is a death sentence for thousands. That's a quote. Trump's ignorance is a death sentence for thousands. You know, somebody needs to get this man committed. I'm serious, folks. When you've got people suffering, you've got people dying, and many of them are elderly people and they've got pre-existing conditions, but families are hurting. And this guy is saying President Trump is killing them. It's just, he doesn't understand science. The man surrounded himself with scientists. Folks, I'm going to take your calls as soon as we get back.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
The air conditioner in the church building broke down. The fan in the unit was still working, but the unit wasn't cooling. I called the man who had installed the unit, and he came to fix it. Checking it out, he discovered that the gas had leaked from the unit, causing the trouble. The unit was checked out very close in an effort to find the leak. However, no damage in the unit or the pipes could be found. So the fellow who came to repair the unit put gas into it, and the unit began cooling at maximum efficiency again. You know, that unit worked good for about 3 weeks. Then one day I noticed that it wasn't cooling. The fan was just blowing out hot air. So I called the fellow a second time and told him what had happened. He came back, checked, and found that the gas had escaped again. This time he started hunting for the hole where the gas was leaking with more determination. I guess he searched for about 4 hours for that hole. He ran a check on all the lines, dug holes in the ground searching around the pipe, even ripped off the protective covering from the pipe, but all in vain. No sign of any place where the gas was escaping. He took out a container of gas, hooked it up to the unit, and began to fill the pipes again. The unit began cooling. He knew it was a leak, but he couldn't find it. The fellow applied the pressure to the unit. He ran the pressure to nearly twice what it should be. He was putting a terrific strain on the equipment. Finally, with the pressure greatly increased, he found the hole. It was so tiny that even a straight pin could not fit in it. It was such a tiny hole. But it was responsible for the failure of the unit. It did just as much damage as a hole 10 times its size. It just took a little longer. A fellow once asked me if there were degrees of sin. That is one sin worse than another? You see, this fellow was guilty of what we commonly call a little sin. It was no major thing, and most people simply ignored it. He was, in effect, pointing his finger at those who committed more serious sins. He was hoping, of course, to excuse his minor sin. Well, there is degree in sin. Not all sin is as great as other sin. Stealing a dime could hardly be classified as serious as killing a neighbor. So in one way of thinking, the fellow who asked the question was correct. His sin wasn't as great as that of some others. Now back to that air conditioner. It wasn't the size of the hole which caused the damage. It was the hole. So it is with sin. It's not the size of the sin which separates us from God. It is the sin. The results of a little sin and a great sin, the results are the same. A hole is a hole, and a sin is a sin. That means, of course, that those who commit little sins need forgiveness as much as those who commit great sins. So instead of pointing your finger, you better bow your head.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. Two other quick points. One is, you know, if President Obama or some liberal Democrat were in office right now, you know, the mainstream media would be telling everybody, got to stand together with the president. He may not agree with him on everything, but right now he's leading us in a crisis. And we're all responsible for being unified behind the president's leadership and helping him in whatever. Oh, you better believe that's what they'd be telling everybody. And they'd be saying you're irresponsible to do anything less. And because President Donald J. Trump is the 45th president of the United States, they can't find a single good thing to say about him, holding him responsible for the deaths of people. Thank God there are folks like, I think it's Bernie Marcus. Yeah, I think Bernie Marcus is the guy who came on Fox and said, look, if there's blood on anybody's hands, there's blood on the hands of Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, because while the country should have been focusing on dealing with the coming pandemic, they had everybody focused on a bogus, trumped up, forgive the pun, impeachment of the 45th president of the United States, which wasted tens of millions of dollars in time and energy that should have been focused on some of the positive things that the Congress should have been working and could have been working on with this president, including preparation for the possibility of a pandemic, which I frankly accurately prefer to call the communist Chinese Wuhan virus. Let's go to your calls. The number again is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Haywood. Haywood in Mississippi. Haywood, welcome.
And thank you. Make it real quick. I agree with your prayer as a brother in Christ, that prayer you prayed, and I'm sure there's millions that agree with it. In agreement, power is in prayer.
Amen.
Number two, I thank God every day for a man with the guts to stand up to this left-wing, God-hating bunch out there and tell the truth about what's really going on. And you are nailing it every time you turn around. And it, you got so many millions of people behind you and praying for you. Like you say, if we stay with God, we cannot be stopped. And
amen.
I thank you for it, and I just encourage you to keep it up, brother. And we love you, and we're going to keep praying for you. And I can't wait to see you up yonder.
All right, Haywood. Amen. Thank you, Haywood. Amen. And we are going to see each other up yonder. There's no question about that. Praise God. All right, let's go to Todd in Louisiana. Todd, welcome. And how's everything going in Louisiana? We're hearing a lot about how this thing is proceeding there and some of the problems it's creating. But Todd, how are you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing okay. It's kind of scary, but I'm not scared because I know who my father is.
Amen.
But anyway, I want to say something about hydroxychloroquine. Been hearing a lot of good news, you know, a lot of good things about it in the news, you know. And I want to say one thing. You know, God is in control. And I want to say one thing. He will give wisdom to anyone to cure this virus. He will go to the scientists, and he will go to doctors. He will go to anyone. And all of a sudden, hydroxychloroquine has been around for the longest. And one more thing, I've been looking at Africa. Africa doesn't have it. Well, they may have, you know, little, not much. And they are on that drug. So, I mean, we put our heads together, and we're going to come up with this hydroxychloroquine, and it's going to heal a lot of people. And I'm going to leave with one thing, E. We have a problem in this world, and nobody's addressed it. Some do, some don't. We need to serve one God. We serve too many gods here. A white man will serve a white God. Black man will serve a black God. God has created the races. He is not racist. One race, the human race.
Amen.
One God, Jesus Christ. And I hang up and listen
to you. All right, Todd. You know, one of my favorite passages of scripture is Acts 17:26, and he has made from one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and determine their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. And Todd, I could not agree with you more. You know, I hadn't thought about how Africa's doing, but I'm going to take a look at that because you're right. Chloroquine is an anti-malaria drug. And of course, it's used quite extensively in Africa because Africa used to have a major problem with malaria. And so that's an interesting point that you just made. And last point I'll comment on that, Todd, you said God will give wisdom. You know, you made me think of George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver, as you all know, was a scientist. He happened to be an American of African descent, but he was a scientist who pioneered about 300 different uses of the peanut. He was an agricultural wizard and taught many Southerners how to rotate their crops and how to get more out of their soil. And he said the key to his insight scientifically, oh, this will make the leftists, oh, just make them want to rip their hair out. But he said the key to his insights were he would go pray and ask God to explain to him how these things worked. He said, that's the key to my scientific genius, if people want to call it that. So Todd, you are absolutely right. The only problem is we've come to a point where we want to separate science from God now. And we think if you're really a scientist, you don't do anything stupid like believing in God. Well, if it weren't for the scientists who believed in God, we wouldn't have the scientists we've got today, because the people who pioneered the laws of the universe, who understood, came to understand the law of the universe, were believers who were doing the same thing, asking God to show them the laws that he used to establish the way the world and the universe work. So Todd, you were on target on a number of different ways. Okay, let's go to Dwayne in Texas. Dwayne, welcome.
Hello there.
Hi, Dwayne.
I had comments on two topics. I'll keep them short, if that's okay. The CDC weekly influenza report that you mentioned, I actually was just reading that yesterday. I had it on my screen, and there were three other numbers I found extremely interesting as well as the one you quoted. They said that there had been 29 million cases so far this season. There had been 400,000 hospitalizations so far this season, and half of the U.S. population is estimated to have actually gotten the flu vaccine.
Had gotten the flu vaccine.
Yeah, had the flu vaccine, and yet we had 29 million cases, 400,000 hospitalizations, and as you quoted, 24,000 deaths.
Wow.
So far.
Wow.
So the other comment I wanted to make was about the court case you mentioned, where the governor in Michigan or Wisconsin was trying to stop the primary election. I fully agree with you that we need to rein in all branches of government that are trying to exceed their constitutional authority, but it disturbed me greatly that the federal court was involved at all in a state primary election. You might argue that they could be involved in the full blown election in the fall, but a primary election actually has nothing to do with the election of the federal officials. It's just a matter for the political parties. There is no grounds whatsoever for the federal government to be involved in that issue.
Hey, look, I think it's a technical matter, Dwayne. You are absolutely right. I can't argue the point. You're right. A state primary is a party issue. It has nothing to do with the federal government. So, yeah, I mean, technically, you're right. I guess it's one of those cases where thank God for the outcome, but the way it was arrived at might be somewhat problematical for the future. So thanks, Dwayne. Let's see. Do we have time for one more? I tell you what, you all stand by. I'm going to come right to you here shortly. We've got a little bit of a break to take in here in a second. But let me mention a couple of other things just before we go to the break. I had the occasion to go to the dentist today, and this very morning. And when I got there, an attendant came out and said, we only allow one patient in the office at a time. And we clean the pathway of every patient who comes in and leaves before the next patient comes in. As you can imagine, that slowed the process down quite a bit. And, you know, people say, well, see, that's what I mean. But you know what, folks? They're doing that voluntarily. And then patients deal with it voluntarily. That's not an order. That's just what they're doing to try to keep everybody safe. And that's the difference between Americans doing what they think they need to do versus somebody giving them orders. Back in a moment.
I began refereeing hockey in high school to get women to chase me. And they did. Boy, did they ever.
Sometimes sports can bring out the worst in us. And here's Phil Calloway explaining on Focus on the Family Minute.
They chased me down darkened hallways, out into parking lots, and sometimes out of town. They were so mad at me. If you ever doubt there is sin on earth, referee church hockey. One night I found myself breaking up a fight between two pastors, honest. Wow! I put them into the penalty box, and one guy turned to me and said, when I get to the rink, I leave Jesus behind. That's what he said. I said, you're not a kidding. Look at you. Wow.
Do you invite Jesus along with you as you're playing sports or to work? Let him be part of your interactions. More from Phil at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Franklin Graham. As news about the coronavirus seems to worsen, many people are feeling overwhelmed, anxious, even fearful. We want to help. At the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, we have a prayer line that's open 24/7. We have staff who would love to speak with you, pray with you. Remember, God loves you.
Call 1-888-388-2683. That's 1-888-388-2683. Or visit billygraham.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, I've said before, and I will say again, we have got the best listeners and callers anywhere in the world. And I forget which forgive me for forgetting exactly which caller it was. Maybe my producer remembers who mentioned Africa. Well, I looked up the numbers during the break. Africa, the entire continent. Now, we assuming this we can... This is coming from here again. Well, it's the World Health Organization's John Hopkins has got a study to follow the coronavirus in Africa. Total of 10,268 cases in all of Africa. That's all the entire continent of Africa, and only 491 deaths so far. If that is attributable to chloroquine, then, wow. And whether it is or not, boy, that's worth taking a look at, isn't it? I mean, that's why so few cases. And I'm looking at a map in AfricaArguments.org, where it's showing some countries with literally entire countries with just one case. So apparently, they are not really hit with a they are not feeling the same impact from this pandemic that apparently the rest of the world is, because only 10,000 cases in the entire continent. We've already got over 10,000 deaths in the United States of America. So very, very interesting. Thank you for that information. That's something worth really taking a look at. Let's go to Warren in Texas. Warren, welcome. Thank you for your patience.
Bishop, it is a pleasure, an honor to talk to you. I love you to death, man. I tell you.
Thank you, sir.
It's I'm glad that you just mentioned about the African nation. You have to understand that approximately 750,000 Chinese came into the United States right after this happened. And the African, I say nation, I'm sorry, the continent. I studied the malarial, found there's 100 countries that suffer from malaria. And the worst is the Congo. So I studied that. And as of yesterday, they've had 154 cases, 18 deaths, 3 recoveries. But they stopped using chloroquine many years ago. They found that it had side effects that were like burning, just a bunch of different stuff. But they used the hydroxychloroquine, which was approved back in 1955 by FDA, U.S. But there's three medications that Congo uses, and the hydroxychloroquine isn't even on that list. So, and I talked to pharmacists And they said that it doesn't prevent that. They said there's studies going on that may show, and I saw where one doctor has given the hydroxychloroquine along with zinc, and he feels that it had positive effects. But at the same time, I saw where one man in his 50s, 40s, or 50s, he recovered, but he thought he was going to die. He took the hydroxychloroquine with the Z-Pak. There was a 92-year-old woman that had the same thing. She thought she was going to die, and she came back around, and she didn't have any medication in that respect. So it's either touch or go. And the study that came out of France, they had six patients that they claimed it was a miraculous deal, but turns out three of them were in ICU. One of them died, and I don't know what happened to the other ones. So it's not. And the Chinese, I don't believe anything they say. I'm not even going to get into that.
Right.
But the point being, the Congo is the worst in the world with malaria. And right now, the fact that they haven't had very many cases is because if you go to the Congo, four countries, France, Germany, Italy, and China, you go into a 14-day quarantine automatically. And I don't know about you, but I want to go to a third world country and go to a 14-day quarantine.
Warren, thank you for the call. There are mixed reports about chloroquine, but my understanding is while there haven't been the full panoply of FDA studies, the double-blind studies that they need to do to factor out the placebo effect and all of that stuff that's got to be done, that apparently thousands upon thousands have used it, and there's a lot of reporting that it's effective. So here again, barring anything else and barring potentially fatal side effects, I think, you know, wisdom would say let's try it and let's use it to help as many people as we can. But thank you for the call. Let's go to Bob. Bob, welcome. Bob, where are you calling from?
Montana.
Montana. All right. I wasn't sure about that, but great to hear from you out in Montana. How is it out in Big Sky Country?
Very good. Things are kind of quiet here. Not much going on. We're in a very protected state, and we're seeing very few cases that are showing up.
Good. Good. Glad to hear that. So you guys Bob, Montana's not on a lockdown?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. So what did you want to talk about, Bob?
Yeah, I just would like a clarification, Brother Jackson, on the impeachment that the Democrats tried to do with President Trump recently, and they came so close to doing it and trying to take down a sitting president who did nothing wrong. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have the Democrats that caused such terrible problems in the beginning of the 2016 election and the things that they brought in place that were so false, and yet the Department of Justice does nothing to go after them to try to bring them to justice. What is wrong? I don't understand it. Do we have yellow streaks going down our backs, or what is going on there?
Well, look, Bob, I'm not always sure exactly what's going on there. One would like, though, to see a lot more aggressive approach to dealing with people who, in my view, did nothing short of trying to hold a coup d'etat against the President of the United States. I mean, remember, they were discussing 26th Amendment effort to unseat the president, to declare him unfit for office. They had lied to FISA courts in order to get surveillance against him. They'd made up stuff from the Steele dossier, just made up stuff to try to destroy his character and his reputation and make it impossible for him to become president. I mean, this stuff, to me, as I said before, folks, this is treasonous in my view, and this stuff really needs to be prosecuted. And I realize that's easy for me to say because I'm not a prosecutor and I don't have the authority to put anybody in jail. But But you would like to see the Justice Department get a lot more aggressive with some of these people than they've gotten. And maybe that will come. Maybe in a second term, we'll see some of that. Here again, I don't know. I don't have an answer to exactly why we don't see more of it. And some of it may boil down to timing and the political realities that we face. So I'm just not sure. But yes, I agree with the implication of what you're saying, which is I'd like to see a lot more aggressive Justice Department than what we are now seeing against people who are trying to subvert our Constitution. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Wayne in Ohio. Wayne, welcome.
Mr. Bishop, I tell you what, thank you for your show. I got to listen to you a little bit yesterday, and then I left work a little early today to catch some more of it. So you were talking yesterday about the churches being open, and I tell you what, I really like your show after just watching it or listening to it a couple times. But God bless you, brother. But you were talking about churches opening still and having services. I wanted to throw something at you and see what you think of it. God's will in our life is to worship together. Remember that the church is your body, though, and we join in a building that we call church for worship together to build, enhance our faith and growth in God. But God also gave us a free will to make decisions off of factors that we run into in life. So I think these churches, they're honoring God, but they're not honoring the wisdom that God's given them by meeting, I think, because you're putting other people's lives in danger by doing that. So I just wanted to get some input on that from you, and God bless you, brother. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate that. Well, look, you are right on the point of free will. That's why I don't try to force anybody to come to church. And you all have heard me say I'm not condemning any pastor who's decided to close their doors, because each of us has to stand before God on our own. But Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's in Hebrews 10:25, folks. Bishop E.W. Jackson didn't make that up. It's there. And you say, well, yeah, but this is an exception. Well, the justification that it's an exception depends upon this idea that God cannot protect his people. Doesn't it? I mean, it has to, doesn't it? And that's why I say I don't try to force anybody, because if
hello, this is Bishop Harry Jackson of Hope Christian Church. Hello, this is Bishop Harry Jackson of Hope Christian Church in Beltsville, Maryland.
Jesus said you would do greater works than he did. In other words, there's a miracle in your prayer, there's a miracle in your mouth, there's a miracle in your hands, but that miracle is a sign to those who are seeking peace, sign to those who want the truth, a sign to those who God has set you on your job, in your community, in your family to reach. Am I making any sense? So we need you to be a proclaimer of truth. We need you to believe that greater works are going to follow you. We need you to believe that these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, break the authorities of darkness. In my name they shall lay hands.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.